Hello, parents. Welcome to today's episode. It is all about how can we parent the child versus focusing so much on behavior, which, man alive, I totally get. But listen in for information on how to, yes, of course, address behavior, but how to focus more on your child. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Parenting Post-Wilderness, your guide to parenting struggling teens. I'm your host, Beth Hillman, a mom of five boys, including a post-wilderness teen and a life coach for parents. I will guide you on how to influence lasting change by first understanding the relationship-changing power of focusing on your own behavior instead of futile attempts to control your teens. Parents, the change begins with us. Hey, parents, so glad to have you today. And it's me and Seth today. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
I'm swell.
Good.
And you?
I'm doing all right.
The winter storms have not got you down?
No. Clearly, I just lied.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. It's more so that I'm not able to do some of the things that I love doing outside with winter storms. So I'm experiencing them differently for the first time. And that's been difficult.
Oh, yeah, it is for sure. People always like, oh, how do you get through the winter? I'm like, I just embrace it. I have to go out in it. But if maybe you can't go out in it for one way or another, then that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like the, it's like the gray. It's like the white gray sky. Ugh, I could use some sun.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, today, we get high on both of Seth's and my minds. How do I say that, boy? Is particularly the idea that so many families are, and we get it, we really, really get it. It is so understandable why parents tend to focus on behaviors more than the child. So that's our topic, is how can we parent the child in front of us and not their behavior? How do we, I just have so many clients who are so focused on the behaviors of their children, right? Of their teens or their adolescents, young adults.
Yeah.
Their grades, their waking up on time, the food they're eating, the substances that are being taken, the friends that they have. It's all so behavioral focused. And in one way, I really, really get it. Right?
Right. 100%, because that's what you see, right? That's at the forefront. That's at the cusp. That's what's most present.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to notice whether your kid gets up on time, whether their grades, you know, whatever their grades are and what the teacher's saying. And it's just so it's kind of like the obvious things, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the obvious things that's also... Oh my goodness. It can be sometimes the most combative. When you're enter your parenting from a point of a perspective of correction.
Yeah. Right. Like it's a thing you get triggered most on, right? As a parent.
Yeah.
You know, when I sit down and do like a home plan with a client and we talk about boundaries, one of my very first questions is, what do you, the parents, get triggered on? Right? Because, and it's basically always the same things. Curfew, grades, school attendance, substances, friends.
Yeah.
It's the lineup.
Right.
And I get it. I mean, I could, that was absolutely our lineup as well. Curfew was huge for us. Sometimes that's not the case, but curfew, our son was constantly, constantly breaking curfew, the academics were huge. Even him at school attendance was huge. Substances were enormous. It was, you know, check, check, check. So I want to first to have lots and lots of empathy for parents, because behaviors matter. Certainly. I mean, right? I mean, we have to talk about that for a minute, right? How much behaviors matter.
Yeah. They're incredibly strong indicators of other aspects of life that might not be going so well.
Yeah, they give context, right?
Yeah.
Agreed. So this is, comes to mind. Most of you know I have a younger person in my home, my son, who's almost 8. And just the other day, we got a call from the principal. It's like, anyway, oh, it's funny to like redo all of my, our other 4 boys had lots of issues. Like, you know, I mean, of course they're boys, they do stuff, but it's very interesting to go through it again. Anyway, and he had thrown a rock into the carpool lane and hit a car.
Oh no.
Yeah. Speaking of behaviors, you know, so behaviors are not only noticed, but you know, if your neighbor calls and says, if we had friends, actually, when our son was kind of in the middle of it, our neighbors or our friends would call and say, hey, our daughter came home from school and they're noticing some really, you know, tough behaviors from your son. And I was like, oh. So not only are you noticing, you know, the behaviors of your children, but other people very much, you know, teachers and principals and cops and aunts and uncles and grandparents and all the people are noticing the behaviors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to make, I want parents to know, I want you guys to know how much I understand why the focus on the behaviors, because behaviors matter. They do. It matters if your kid's flunking. It matters if your kid's taking substances. It matters if your kid's driving high. It matters. It matters. It matters. However, however, if we are finding ourselves, and I really want parents, I'm really going to encourage you to ask yourselves, how is this me? Or when is this me? Not, do I do this? Because I promise you do. But when do I do it? And how often do I do it? And I guess the question is how much of my interaction with my adolescent or young adult is about behavior? Do you think that's a fair question, Seth?
Yeah. And I think another way of asking that is, how much time are you spending trying to counteract that behavior?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, right. How, right, exactly.
Is that what all the conversations are about? Is that what the focus, is that the only focus? Yeah. And when you get hyper-focused, sometimes you lose that macro perspective of what are other things going on, or how am I showing up, and am I actually seeing my child for the individual that they are?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it takes so much more effort to see beyond the behaviors. It's a big ask, although a worthy ask. What is going on under the behaviors or beyond the behaviors or whatever? When I found out my little guy had thrown the rock, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that needs addressed for sure, right? We want to have a conversation about my kiddo throwing a rock at a car in carpool. Of course that needs addressed. But what more needs addressed is, you know, like kind of what was going on for him at the moment. You know, what was he thinking and how was he feeling? And creating a safe space for him to express is a big task as well.
Well, because it gives you understanding and perspective to the situation.
Yeah.
Which is something that is invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's say you're dealing with a teen or an adolescent who's you know, using substances. I've had several parents lately say, I'd be fine if they would just do it on the weekends, but every freaking day. And it's like, yeah, that's context. But you know, those kiddos' brains, they're not, they just can't do it. They can't, at least I have found, they can't seem to only do it on the weekends. That, you know, they're just like the more the merrier type of thing. So, but the point is, of course that has to be addressed. And I get that. But just as much or even more, what is causing them to want to forget about their lives or take away the anxiety or need a break, right? Those ideas
right. that are- Or not apply themselves, right, when it comes to school.
Yeah, exactly. Or not apply themselves, exactly. You have to be thinking of that is those kiddos are either trying with the substances, they're either trying to down-regulate themselves, meaning maybe they're super anxious, super high strung, stressed, and they're trying to find some peace, right? And some non-stress.
Right.
Or they're trying to upregulate themselves, which is of course a different set of substances, because they feel depressed or sad or not good enough or whatever those things. So, you know, our children, you know, young adult, whatever, they're just trying to feel better with those substances.
Right. Right? Or feel alive, you know, if somebody is taking the car out and speeding or doing that, right. It's this feeling like maybe they're feeling so depressed and down that it's a way for them to feel alive.
Yes.
And then I think the other component that you went over too is this behavior indirect correlation to like how much you are there or not there for what the child is feeling they need.
Mm.
Right? So is their behavior an FU? Or is it a, hey, I need attention?
Mm.
Or is it a, you know, you piss me off and I'm going to show you that I'm not happy? You know, I think that's something to take into consideration as well. Or could it even just be, are they even going to notice?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Seth, that's why I pay the big bucks. Just kidding. This is a volunteer effort on Seth's part, but on both our parts. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that. The week that our little guy threw the rock, I was gone the entire week. So the first thought that entered my head was, oh shoot. I think he's trying to tell me something. And not all the time is that a thing, but I think it's a super fair question of just self-awareness and family, I guess, awareness is, I think he's trying to see if I'm there. That was information for me, right? If you're teen or young adult or even little person like mine, is having some of that maladaptive behavior, I think it's so valuable to ask yourself, what are they trying to say?
Right.
You know, a lot of kids most kids cannot express, hey, you're gone too much, you know, or hey, I need you more. Or, first of all, teen's never going to admit that probably. And then my little guy has no idea. He just, you know, just feels stuff.
Or so, is it just hurt, right? Has something happened in their lives that is really painful?
And it might not even have to do with the parents. It might have to do with a friend or a relative or a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever.
Right. So then my question is, and I kind of know the answer, but I think it's worth posing is, well, then how do you find out? How do you connect, right?
Yeah, that is a great next question is, I think, well, one, like I said, you want to look at the behavior and recognize, okay, that needs addressed. That's easy. Well, okay, that's not easy. It's it can be handled, but it is a result of something else, or it's a solution, perhaps. Mm. Like if a kiddo is, like you're saying, out racing the car because they just maybe feel dead inside and they're trying to feel more alive, then the maladaptive behavior is a solution.
Right.
So what we have to be asking ourselves is, what are they trying, or what could they be trying to solve? Right.
Right. Right.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. And you're literally, no, you're not necessarily asking them straight out, although that you could, but that's, I think, kind of what you're set to do is, I wonder what's going on for them.
Right. Right. And, I think it's important to take the time to connect without pressing whatever that immediate behavior is, you know, like what are things that you can do together to make them and you feel comfortable in a space that's sharing, or what alternatives can you do? I mean, is it, you know, going for a hike? If you have a kid who's, you know, really like speed, can they get into mountain biking? What are alternatives? But what can you do together that helps connection? And with that connection is going to hopefully come kind of vulnerability and a little bit more openness as to providing the space for somebody to share what is, mm-hmm. what's the deeper issue that's going on. And then it's about coming up with, you know, creative solutions that are alternatives too.
Yeah. Let's for a second talk about what you just mentioned is creating a safe space of expression for expression.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that is essential to anyone that you want to understand more from, right? Or that you're trying to influence, perhaps. The first thing, as you can imagine, my little guy did, he was like, I don't, he first of all, he got in the car and he was really upset. And I was like, hey, what's going on? I'm not going to tell you. And our older son, who had the substance issues, he said that over and over and over again. He would say, you don't want to know. Nope, there's no way I'm telling you. You don't want to know. You can't handle it. He would say stuff like that all the time. And so when my little guy said that, you know, he was like, I don't want to say it. I don't want to let you know. You're going to be mad. And I said, yeah, okay. I get that, buddy. No problem. Let's just take a few minutes. And we were in the car. So I drove him home, and then we just spent some time together. Like you were saying, I didn't press for it right away. And I think that's, and boy, did I have to learn that. And I'm still learning that idea that I have to relate. I don't have to, excuse me. I want to choose to relate. If there's a maladaptive behavior that you want to address, I got to build that relationship first. And that could take a few moments. It could take a few days. It could take and anywhere in between. It could take both, right? Maybe a little bit of information comes out, then maybe you take a minute, and then a little bit more information comes out, and you take a minute, and you're always kind of trying to, as a parent, I feel like you want to be noticing and observing with curious eyes, a curious heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I wanted to make sure, and it's a little, I have to say it is easier with a 7-year-old because I've had both. I have my 7-year-old now. And then of course the teenagers and all the adults, but, that relationship is key. And if you don't have a good relationship, you know what? You just put an invite out. Offer some shooting some hoops or whatever we're going to do to try and relate, try and connect. You're searching for a connection. And I would ask yourselves, like, how can I connect on their turf, you know, on their terms?
Yeah.
What do they like to do? You know, my older son likes to talk about cars. And if I say, and genuinely interested, of course, so tell me what, like, new car stuff you're, you know, or tell me, you know, anything about cars. He usually will start. And I need to be genuine, right? Which I am, about like all the cars and all this stuff. And am I interested in cars? In the moment I am, but typically, no, I'm not.
Right.
It's not my thing. But in the moment, I desire connection, you know? And so I try to think of things that I can, have a relationship about, or just a little connection about, you know? You were asking, like, how do we do this? And it's creating a safe space first. If you want somebody to talk to you, if you want somebody to trust you, and a safe space looks like empathy, understanding, and curiousness. But what else would you add to that, to like a safe space?
It's how do you let someone know that you see them for who they are?
Yeah.
And that is a very ambiguous answer to what you asked. I think what that looks like is finding out what's going on for them. And who they are, what are they interested in? What is going well in their life? What isn't going well in their life? I think it's very easy for parents to sometimes hear about problems that are happening in their child's life, and they automatically want to come up with solutions. And I don't think that oftentimes that's what an individual is looking for. They're looking for someone to simply listen, to hear them, to see them.
And that actually creates disconnection.
Right. And so it's, holding that space to allow somebody to vocalize without being a fixer.
Mm. Yeah. I know parents are just like, well, what do I say? Mm. And I think I'm going to give this to you guys, but I typically like the words like, thank you so much for telling me.
Right.
If it comes off like therapy, if a kid criticizes you for like using therapy talk, I got to be honest, I would check your authenticity.
Mm.
Because I could say those words like, thank you for sharing. And it would come off so pretentious and, just awful. Or I could say like, thank you. Thanks for telling me. I'm so glad I know that. Thank you. And it could be genuine, and it could be the same exact words, but coming from such a different place.
Well, it could be, I'm so happy to know that.
Yeah.
Even if it's something hard, like, I really appreciate you telling me that. And then I think it becomes the question. And I think a great question to ask is, and this is uncomfortable to ask, in some ways, but, thank you for telling me that. Are you telling me that just because you'd like me to know, or is it something that you would like help with, or maybe later,
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And if there's a way that I could support you in that, please let me know.
Right.
And figuring that out or whatever. I think it's hard because there's such a fine line between parents offering too much help, because then the kid can feel incapable, or like you don't believe they can, or you don't trust that they can. It's such a fine line, right? But I think offering support is like, hey, if you think of a way I could support you, let me know. I think that's a little bit different than that.
Sure.
What do you need? What do you need? How can I help? And sometimes that just gets to be too much.
Right. And I would also offer up, figuring out what activity you can do to spend time together, and then just holding the space until the individual feels comfortable to share without pressing, without asking.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, if we go through like what can parents do, we talked about creating a safe space. Mm-hmm. Then we talked about questions.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that comes to mind is that I tapped in at that moment, remembering it's so sometimes really hard to like connect with that inner innocent child, right? Mm. Of like, oh yeah, I totally have thrown rocks at cars when I was little. I don't remember a specific time, but in general, I just remember being so curious what would happen, right?
Well, it's exploring a boundary.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
what happens if I draw on my parents' walls? What happens if I light this furniture on fire? I didn't do that, but you know, I'm just saying, like, it's, they're just so curious. And I think that's something that as adults, we can really tap into more of, is really feeling into being a child. It's so far away from most of us, you know, because we're 30, 40 years, 50 years old or whatever. But just in that moment, it's like, oh, I've totally made mistakes like that. Now, that's like throwing a rock at a car. Like when you're thinking about maybe your kiddo taking substances, you know, maybe you did and maybe you didn't. But if you did, it might be really hard to actually go to that space, because there's probably a lot of shame and guilt and regret, and I don't know what else is there, but it could be very difficult actually to go there. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't, you know, if you hadn't taken substances when you were young or whatever, then you don't really have a lived experience with it. So you don't even know what you're tapping into anyway. So those are some hard asks, but I think it can help. It's just, if it's like, oh, you know what? Yeah. I, at one point in my life, didn't think through things as well. I make mistakes too.
Right.
And then you're like lifting off that judgment and the shame of what they did, that behavior. And again, you're just going back to this human person you have in front of you who, honestly, I'm just going to bet it's just trying to figure it out. They are trying to figure their freaking life out.
They are trying, right. They are trying to figure their life out. And I think that, well, I think that you said something, there was a word that was, that you said, which was understanding.
Yeah.
Without the judgment, without the guilt, without the shame, or projecting the guilt, the shame, the disappointment. Like, how can you come to a place of, okay, I want to know what's going on, like, without those other tones or attitudes coming across and coming through, but like, for genuine understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you just exploring? What, like, how did it feel? What did it help you in the moment? You know, what transpired afterwards? You know?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get to a place of understanding?
Right. And that's such a big ask too, because parents are so afraid.
Sure.
They are afraid their kid's going to kill themselves. I mean, they're afraid their kid's going to overdose. They're afraid they're going to run off the road because they're driving high. There is so, and I mean, you and I both know that. It there's so much fear, and fear and understanding have a hard time in the same space. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to be fearful and curious or understanding at the same time. It's, I know a lot of times we can hold several things. I understand that. But something that I think parents can do is look at the fact of the behavior, which is most likely a fact, and then look at all the fear thoughts that are clouding your vision and creating basically a wall between you being able to understand why your kiddo would take such a risk, right? Right. And it's that fear that keeps us so desperate, for that behavior to change. You know, as parents, we're just so desperate, just like knock it off, I mean, that's the thing I remember thinking and saying so much to my, my wilder kid, is just knock it off, stop it. And I could not fathom why he was doing it.
Right.
I couldn't fathom. And so then I became more and more and more anxious, more and more and more fearful. And then I'm parenting from anxiety. I'm parenting from fear. I'm all over the place. I can't hold a boundary. I'm passive and then aggressive. It's just like, and I know you parents, I have so much empathy for that, because I went through it.
Right.
I remember. And I had to do my own work. I had to figure out how to step out of the fear and just looking at the behavior and try on some understanding for myself. And then I could understand more about my kiddo. That's probably a whole nother podcast, but we have to be doing our own work. And I think that Seth and I's greatest desire for our audience is to just continue everybody, just wherever you're at, parents, just to continue to do your own work, which means thinking about where you're parenting from, you know, what, you know, are you stuck in correction with your kiddo all the time? You're just trying to stop them from doing it. It's not going to work because you don't have that much control. I just, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to stop that behavior. You can't. It's not yours to stop. Oh, right. It's like the hardest thing to say to parents, but it's the truth. You can't stop it. What you have to do is you have to relate and connect and influence. And it's such a long game. Ugh.
It is. And the change might be a slow progression.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to say it will most likely be.
Well, yeah.
Like, I've never seen it otherwise. It is the long game. But also, I think, hey, you know what? My 22-year-old, who's still working on stuff, he's, you know, he's going to figure it out. He's going to. And especially, he's going to figure it out way more likely if he has a mom he can trust and a mom who's safe, who he can tell things to, which, trust me, we are still working on, man alive.
Right.
Still working on. My last three texts are like, did you do that? How about that? Did you take care of that? Have you done that? So trust me, I'm going to eat my words. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, we're here for you, everyone. We really are. If you have any thoughts or comments, please reach out. You can leave us a review. You can always reach out to us. It's all on your, there's a way to get a hold of us. And I think we provide that somehow. Show notes. That's it, in the show notes.
Show notes.
But anything else, Seth, you want to comment on?
No, it is a long game, and it takes a lot of patience and a lot of understanding, and even on a road that leads to change towards, you know, a healthier, hopefully more positive outlook for an individual in life, it doesn't happen immediately. And so know that there's going to be bumps in the road and there's going to be some setbacks, but a setback doesn't mean that somebody is failing. It just means they might be struggling in the moment. But as long as there's, you know, it's that old saying, it's about progress, not perfection.
And really
making sure that you're continuing to progress as the individual you are, and hopefully within the relationship as well.
Yeah. Well said. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Always. Absolutely. Appreciate it. Yeah. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey there. Thank you for joining me today. If you know a struggling parent, please share this with them. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Beth Hillman Coaching or through my website, BethHillmanCoaching.com. And remember, parents, the change begins with us.